So after a summer series of exploring hymns that are beloved to us and our history, we're back to the lectionary for a little bit, and I found it especially appropriate and sort of like, oh, maybe there is a reason for all of this, when I read that this was one of the scripture readings for this Sunday. I think it's especially appropriate that we receive a reminder about Sabbath at this time of year, because as summer ends and school begins, all of that brings with it sort of a different change, a shift in our rhythm and our spirit. For us here in Iowa, oftentimes it's the state fair that is sort of like the last hurrah of summer. And, you know, once the fair comes, it's like, oh, here's the end. Better enjoy it. And then back to school. In a similar way, here at Altoona Christian Church, Vacation Bible School sometimes serves that same purpose. I hear often from the folks who volunteer every year that Vacation Bible School is almost sort of like a liturgical event. It changes the season when it is over, because our VBS is always the first or second week in August, and we're the last one in town. So while it's not a liturgical season like Advent or Lent, I do find that marking this change in time can be really helpful as we navigate new schedules and shifted priorities. And how better to mark this change in time with a deep breath and a practice of Sabbath, right? Even for those of us who are not in school and for whom the shift might be a little bit more subtle, we still sort of feel that change around us, right? We see it in the stores with all of the school supplies that get put out and the craziness of the back-to-school rush. We see it in our families and our friends and the school buses driving down the street in the mornings and in the afternoons. We mark it here at church because in a couple of weeks we'll be back to Sunday school and youth group, and we'll be having a Bible study this fall after taking a break this summer. So I wonder why it might be so important to remember Sabbath this day, this time of year. With any change in time and with any shift in priorities, it's easy to get lost and lose sight of what is most important. So how easy is it for us to go to the store with our list of back-to-school items that's maybe 15 bullets long, and leave just with the cart overflowing with things that we're pretty sure we need? Yeah? And how easy is it for us to sign up for an extracurricular here and an extracurricular there without realizing that eventually that leads to homework being done at like 6 o'clock in the morning and 9 o'clock at night because everything else is packed? How easy is it for us to say to ourselves and to those in our families, oh my gosh, what a wonderful opportunity. We'd just be fools not to jump on that. But when we jump on that every single time, we don't realize how exhausting that can be after a little while. How easy is it for us to say, I know it's going to be tough, but we'll just have to make it work, without realizing that sacrifice of time and energy that will weigh heavily on us in the future? When I first read this scripture in preparing for the sermon, I thought, 18 years, that's an interesting number, because it's about the amount of time from birth to graduation from high school, right? That time in our lives when we can be really, really busy. And that, you know, it doesn't end after 18, but that's what I thought of. And when I saw that image of the woman bent over, I saw pictures of our little elementary school kids with their giant backpacks full of books and like 5 hours of homework every night and standardized testing like every other month, you know? So I saw that image of our little boys and our little girls just weighed down with all these books and the weight of this responsibility and the pressure to perform. And I wonder what are we sacrificing when we expect this of our young ones and of ourselves. I say this as a child of the generation that might have sort of begun to overprogram children. Throughout elementary school, I was a competitive gymnast, and I worked out a minimum of 14 hours a week. Monday through Friday, 6 to 9 p.m., Saturdays for 5 or 6 hours, sometimes more, until I had to quit from a severe back injury going into 7th grade. And then throughout middle school and high school, I arrived at school sometime between around 6 a.m., and most days I wouldn't leave until around 6 p.m., because of all of the extracurriculars I did and all of the clubs I was in. I did theater and I did choir and dance team. I served on extra stuff at church. I was in competitions and I was in clubs. It just never ended. And then I entered college and I signed up for literally everything possible. Like, I went to the student fair and I was like, okay, sign that, sign this, here's my email, here's my phone. I want to be a part of it all. And I kept up that crazy, rapid, insane pace until my sophomore year of college, when I was diagnosed with irritable bowel syndrome from anxiety and stress, and I suffered what doctors call a major depressive episode, where I wept for 2 weeks straight. Like the psalmist, my tears were my food day and night, and I barely made it through class. These choices that we make throughout our young childhood and into adulthood, they make a difference, right? And I say this not to be like, oh, here's your terror story or anything like that, but just to say, let's pay attention to our choices. And let's take some deep breaths every now and then. Like the woman in this story, I was pretty bound up and restricted, not by lack of opportunity, which is a whole nother sin, but more by this wealth of it and an inability to choose. So I just chose it all. I was bound by my hectic schedule and my crazed to-do list and all these unreasonable expectations that I put on myself and that I put on other people. I had this high standard of achievement that ended up taking the joy out of everything that I loved. I was a voice major in college, and for a good, like, 3/4 of my college education, I did not love singing. I did not love it. It took the joy out of it. So that time in my sophomore year of college, when I had my major depressive episode, what more commonly known as sort of like a nervous breakdown, I guess. My body was rebelling. I was just physically ill, and my mind was betraying me, telling me all these lies about how I wasn't good enough. My spirit was broken. I didn't even know how to talk to God anymore. And, you know, something had to give. Something had to change, and I didn't quite know it then, but what I desperately needed was Sabbath. I didn't need a leave of absence from school. I didn't need a vacation or a break. I needed Sabbath. I needed some sort of weekly, daily practice of saying I'm human and I need God and I need rest. I didn't even need medication, although that certainly helped and continues to do so. I needed Sabbath. I realized that this school-age example of a young woman in college breaking down under the weight of her own expectations might not speak so powerfully to some of you who are further removed from that time of your life, but we are all oftentimes bound by expectations and by commitments and by struggles of our own making and of those that are put on us. And I think it's important at least once a year, if not more, to examine those things that we bind ourselves to and that bind us and keep us weighed and heavy laden. because it is on the Sabbath that we can come to God and God can place his hand on our shoulder and say, you're free. Let go of all of this. Be unbound and stand up straight. I'm here to redeem you and support you and sustain you. And you can just let go of all of those expectations that you put on yourself because you feel like you're not good enough or you have to do more in order to achieve. You can just be. I can almost hear Jesus' voice when he's speaking to that woman, saying, it's okay, it's enough. Just stand up. I'm here for you. I'm here with you. I'm taking away these chains. And in so doing, in setting her free on the Sabbath, he sets this example for all of us that we are not meant to be enslaved, that we are not meant to be bound. We are meant to be freed and liberated. And whenever we see others around us who are not free and are not liberated, we have the obligation to go and do as Jesus did and set them free. So, with this talk of freedom and liberty and Sabbath, I invite you to take a few moments and imagine for yourselves the things that bind you, the things that weigh you down and constrict your spirit. I invite you to try to think of just a few moments a day, a couple hours a week in which you could let go of some of that and put that heavy burden down. And invite us all to wonder together how if we put those burdens down, what we might be able to do with these open hands and open hearts to free and liberate and walk alongside others. May Sabbath come to you, and may Sabbath become your spirit this week. Amen.